news have got this problem, they are quite stiff. And you smooth them out on your hand, what's got cream on his hand, for example, he smooths it out, that is the Isra b'Mareach. If the thing is very liquidy, it's a liquid, water, or very liquid, something that's very, very liquidy, it runs, spreads everywhere, then there's no Isra at all on Shabbos. So the ones that concern us are level number one, number two, a thick substance, and it holds itself very well, or even something which is not so thick, but it holds for a bit of time. If you put a cream on, eventually it might flatten out, but for a certain quite amount of time, it'll hold itself. All these things to smooth out are problematic on Shabbos. That does away with all these sun creams and all these creams that a person wants to use on Shabbos, women's creams that people want to use. All these creams are more or less out. There's no effort to use them on Shabbos because they involve the Isra b'Mareach. Chap lips as well. People have got these things, the moshel, where you rub on your lips, Vaseline, all these things are problematic in terms of Hilchos Shabbos. The only thing we said is that besides that, there's an Isra of Refuah. There's an Isra of Refuah which also has to be avoided. I must say, it's just interesting, the last week or so, two people have asked an interesting question. And that is, the moshel, let's say someone needs to put cream on Shabbos. So let's talk about a cream. Someone's got a bad burn. So we said that for a chole kol haguf, someone who's confined to bed or is ill enough to be confined to bed, the issur of refuah doesn't apply. Yeah? There's no issur of refuah. Chazal waived the issur of refuah where someone's a chole kol haguf. He's unfortunately not well enough that he can get around and about. Such a person is no issur of refuah. Even though in Mamareach there's an issur of rabbanon, if a person puts cream on his hands, he doesn't smooth it out. He just dabs it on his hands. There's an Issa of Mareach which scared he might smooth it out. Rabbanon made a gezeira that a person might smooth it out. But he says that when a person's a chayla, they waive these Issa Rabbanon. So therefore, if someone's got, a bad burn, for example, on Shabbos, which makes him, the state of a chayla kol haguf, such a person would have to take cream from a tube, dab it onto different parts of the body, on his burn, can't smear it, he can dab it on. I mean, he takes the tube, he squeezes the tube out onto this part, lifts the tube up, squeezes it onto different parts, all over the thing. He's using a lot of cream, but mustn't spread it out. He mustn't take his hand and spread it. That's also to do. Okay.
Sorry? It's to relieve the pain of somebody. It's not a chloric overflow. She's got a terrible rash, and you want to dab it on. It's to relieve the pain. It's not going to be a refer either.
It is. That's helping. It's curing the pain.
It's just
relieving is a cure. It's a pain.
It's not going to make it better.
That's called relieving. But relieving pasha is also called a refuah.
Is it?
It's not a rapa,
firstly. It's not a rapa, the actual.
Someone's got a bad headache, for example. You take a tablet at the bottom.
That's not a rapa.
It takes it away. I don't know what it does. It numbs the area. It numbs it. It's also not being healthy. It's not curing it. It just numbs it. Numbing it, it's a good shot. I have to think about it. It's a good shot. But a chayon, that's also called a refuah. You ask, is numbing an area, for example, is that called a refuah?
What do you mean, making that thing better?
It is, now
it's not making that thing better. It's just containing the pain, the level of pain.
I have to check it out. I would have thought that numbing. What are you asking? Let's say numbing? You're asking the same show about numbing something?
Oh,
so spread. Liquid's much better, actually. But you still got this refuah. You have to overcome the problem of refuah. So if you're a chole kol haguf, you can do it. But if if the person's not a chole kol haguf, for example, he can't do this spray. Yeah?
It's a
rash,
it's just tremendously
painful. Yeah, someone asked you
about it.
Yeah, it's very unwonderful. I don't know so what do you want to take? What do you want to take? Can I know what do you want to take?
I'll take away the itch. I won't have to itch it. It's not going to matter.
Yeah. I think that's a refuah. A relief, but I think a relief is a refuah. I have to check it out right here.
In most of these cases, if something got the itch, it'll end up just sitting down. And that's all failure to goof over because it has to sit down because it's painful to go around.
I'm not sure about it. I guess I
know
that.
It doesn't mean that.
No, that's true. It means you're confined to an area.
Confined to an area.
You can have chicken pox and the person gets itchy. It's not a chode kol haguf.
It's a walk around.
They're very comfortable.
It's uncomfortable. It's not a chode kol haguf. I must say, someone asked last week, it was an interesting question. Which you have to lay on a tackle. It's an interesting thing. He says he's got to take cortisone cream. He's got quite a big rash over his hand. He's got to take cortisone cream. The thing is, to dab a lot of it on is not a very good idea, actually. It's very strong stuff. So he wants to know, what can you do on Shabbos? Dabbing on is not an effect, because what we said last time is you can dab it on, and then, let's say a baby's got a sore bottom, So generally, a baby's rash is probably got in a cholera guf. It's uncomfortable for the baby, a little child. That's where you got in a cholera guf. So we said when we spoke about this last time, we said what you can do is you can dab it on to the baby, and then you put the nappy on the baby, and hopefully, as the baby wriggles around, hopefully a bit, that the cream spreads over everywhere. That's mutter. That's agav. That's mutter to do. Who are they? The person's got something in his hands. There's no issue of that says a cholera guf. He puts a bandage over his hand. As he moves his hands, hopefully the cream will spread over the part, that's mutter. But he said, this sort of cortisone lotion, you can't do this actually, very strong, you can't do it. So the mice, I once saw an interesting eitzah, what you do, interesting idea is, what you do is, you take the cortisone on a plastic spoon, then you hold the plastic spoon over a kelly sheni, where the steam comes out, and that will melt this cream into a liquid. And I've tried it actually once before. Then it's become a liquid. So this sort of moily, it's true, but moily is mutter in certain cases. It's not directly doing it, it's called agav. That is mutter, and then you can take that liquid and smear it onto your body. That would be an eight times to do it. So for this person who's got a cortisone problem, he can't dab it on and then spread it over because it's you're using a lot of stuff. Such a person there will be allowed to do this.
Could you put a bandage on it?
What do you mean? What, when?
What
a bandage over it? Yeah, the chayyot, just dabbing on and the bandage will move it. You mustn't move the bandage over.
No, but the bandage will automatically
move. Yeah, the chayyot, that's much to do. If you can before Shabbos, the best thing is before Shabbos you can, to put the cream on the bandage before Shabbos, smear it out. It's already smeared and you've got no issue, and then just put the bandage on your hand on Shabbos. That's the best thing. But something might dry out, it's not so practical that. But that is really the best thing to do if one can. Yeah, so that's interesting. For all these creams that one needs to use, if one needs to use it, the eitzah is to dab it on, and then leave it as it is. Hopefully, it'll spread by itself. That will make it that's mutter to do. That's the what you call it, the way to do it. A thin liquid is no problem at all. So if you've got any thin liquid, so a spray, there's no problem at all. If you've got a spray, you've got a heter or a choler, then you can just spray it on. There's no problem at all. So if someone's got a bad burn, which makes him a choler color goof, he's got a spray. It's just a spray exists, and you spray it on. There's no problem tackling it. That ruled, so all these things. Then we spoke about soaps on Shabbos. So soaps, we said, was also a very interesting parasha. We don't know why, but a bar of soap, it looks like it's very sort that one shouldn't use. So therefore, the minhag klal is not to use a bar of soap on Shabbos. The various reasons given, maybe when you start off the bar, it's a bit rough. Wherever it is, the mice of the poskim don't allow a normal bar of soap to be used on Shabbos. They say one should not use that, and should we avoid it completely, a bar of soap? What about liquid soap? So liquid soap, the chur and swara, should be nothing wrong with it at all. It's like level number three. It's very runny. As you put it on your hand, it spreads out over your hand. Therefore, really, technically speaking, there should be no problem. However, we saw that Moshe Feinstein was machme on liquid soaps. And he held that since it's possible, it could be the Issamareach, one should not use liquid soaps on Shabbos. Many, many other apostles disagree with Moshe on this point, and they hold that our general liquid soaps are so run, there's no problem at all. And it's mutter to use. But Ramosha held it wasn't, and we said, we brought for people who said that even according to Ramosha, if one adds water to our liquid soap, you make it more runny, then even according to Ramosha, it could be mutter to use. So that would be an eighth of how to use liquid soap according to everyone. The person who puts it on in such a way that its mum is very, very runny, the liquid soap, then there's mutter according to everyone. Generally speaking, our liquid soap, the only thing we spoke about, I told you I once saw this actually, you can get some soap which you get in these institutions, because it comes in a dispenser. It's a liquid inside the dispenser, and when you press the dispenser, out comes a foam, a thick foam. Very interesting thing, actually. I don't know how it works. It must react with the air. It's a mixture with the air. As soon as it comes out and comes onto your hand, it comes into a thick foam. I've seen the package. I took the package out. It's a liquid to start with. Inside the package, you can hear liquid moving around. As it comes out of the dispenser, it comes into a solid piece of foam. That is lechera a problem of moily. One should not use that on Shabbos. That one. In fact, I took it to one of our bodymen in town. Actually, he said to me, "Lechera is a problem to use." Actually, he said it's a problem that this is from a liquid into a solid, and one shouldn't use it. Many of these things are stay a liquid. It's not a problem, but it was very hard to move around. We said the criteria of a solid is when you tilt your hand, does it run down?
Yeah, because that's the criteria for moily.
Oh, so you have to know. It's very hard to know what the criteria are. Many possibly say this could be a problem, actually. This could be a problem. It's a thick stuff with a liquid to start with. This comes into a much thicker substance. Maybe that's already a problem. I don't know. Yeah, it's an interesting question. Yeah, it's liquid stuff. Then we spoke about toothpaste, brushing one's teeth on Shabbos. And we said that, generally speaking, and let's say the toothpaste itself is also a chiddush, really. The toothpaste itself, when a person puts toothpaste on a toothbrush, and he wants the toothpaste to go everywhere over his teeth, that's called mamareach. To a certain degree, he's smoothing out the toothpaste, even though he's not itching, it's inked everywhere, but he's spreading out the toothpaste over his teeth, and therefore that is called osareach, one should not use toothpaste. To use a dry toothbrush, the person wants to use a dry toothbrush, that's really much better. But the only problem is that could be involved there is that sometimes when a person uses a dry toothbrush, what happens is that the gums bleed. So if it's a specific region, he knows every time he brushes his teeth, the gums bleed, he's got a problem. He mustn't brush his teeth. Who are there people ask with dental floss as well, using dental floss and shovels? Sometimes people have got a problem with their teeth, they've got things stuck in their teeth, they want to use dental floss. So, strictly speaking, there's nothing wrong with dental floss, nothing wrong. It's just you have to know, are your teeth prone, when you put the stuff inside there, is it prone to start bleeding? So, people that don't brush their teeth regularly, apparently it happens quite often. It will happen, otherwise someone shouldn't use it. I'll come to a mouthwash. Okay, let's talk about mouthwash a minute. So, we spoke about a mouthwash. So, one problem with a mouthwash, it's also interesting, when a person uses a mouthwash and shovel. So if you dilute the mouthwash on Shabbos itself, that means you make the mixture on Shabbos itself, you pour the mouthwash into water, so that Mishnah Berurah says in Simur Kuf Kaf Ches that you've got a problem with Moedid Reach. You mustn't do that. You mustn't make a scenting water on Shabbos. Mishnah Berurah talks about the Kohanim, yeah? The Mishnah Berurah talks about the Kohanim. Before they used to wash their hands, it used to be a minig in some places, they used to scent the water. Before they pour the water on the Kohen's hands, they used to pour some stuff into the water to scent it, make it smell nice. So when a Kohen washes hands, it smells nice. Comes into the base of marriage, it smells nice. Which is the reason why Chalek says, he says, the mice, it's a problem there because that's called Shadow Moedid Reach. You're making the water smell nice. So who are then, the Chora, when you pour this mouthwash solution into water and you make a nice smell on the water, that is the Shadow Moedid Reach. We saw that in Ocha Shabbos. Ocha Shabbos, everyone shouldn't do that on Shabbos actually. But there's no issue of Moedid Reach on the Gufa Adam. For example, the deodorant or whatever. Someone wants to spray perfume on his hands. There's no issue of Moedid Reach on the actual person himself. So if a person takes mouthwash, for example, puts it straight into his mouth, there's no issue of Moedid Reach. That's takamuta. But then again, to use a brush now and start brushing the mouthwash in his mouth, so that could be a problem of skita, because the toothbrush is going to get wet. It's going to trap the water in between the fibres, and when you rub it, what's going to happen is water is going to seep out. So you shouldn't use a liquid. You shouldn't put water on your toothbrush or put a mouthwash in your mouth and rub it like that because you're going to have a problem. A dry toothbrush passage shouldn't be a problem unless you're going to bleed. Or a toothpick. To use a toothpick, or shall that, I don't think it's a specific ratio of bleeding. So a person, for example, wants to put a toothpick. He wants to got something in his mouth. He takes a toothpick, takes something out. That becomes mutter as you want Shabbos. There's no gazelle on that. It's not a specific ratio you're going to start bleeding in such a case. That's allowed. It depends on how hard he does it. And dental floss, I mean, so it's the same thing. If it's not more, it's going to bleed, then it's going to have to be done. But this mouthwash is one. There is a toothbrush. You can get a toothbrush. They've got a kosher toothbrush for Shabbos. It's like a rubber toothbrush, which has got a special the toothpaste thing for itself as well, which doesn't trap anything which is not to use. The person wants desperately to brush their teeth on Shabbos, that's what they'll be able to do. That was a toothbrush, toothpaste, dental floss. Then we have another issue about food. Is there an issue of mareach on food? So the marshals, a woman has made a cream, for example, and she wants to cream a cake on Shabbos. Or on Yom Tov, actually, right? There's no difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov. You want to cream something on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So we said an interesting halacha. Shulchan Aruch says, really, ein mareach ba'ichli. There's no issa of meruach on food. The whole issa of these things only applies to items that are not food purposes. Anything which is a food, there's no issa of meruach. But the Ramah says, toil or brocha, there's a bracha given to someone who doesn't do meruach on food when you're doing it to beautify the food. That means if a person's got a peanut butter bread, he wants to spread peanut butter on his bread, so he's not interested in making the peanut butter look nice or the bread look nice. It's posher, he's just putting the peanut butter on the bread to make the peanut butter spread. That is mutter, there's no shy about that at all. When a person does something like this and he wants to make the bread or the cake look nice, the moshla caterer, for example, he wants to have a cake with a cream on it. So he wants to layer the cream on the cake and he perfects the cream. That looks very nice and smooth. That could be an issue. That's a toil of bracha, the Ramah, not even with food, not to perfect it, to make it look nice and smooth. So we were speaking about this, where this applies to. It could apply to also, I don't know what, bridge roll. Someone tying with bridge rolls, the cages. Generally speaking, when a person makes a bridge roll and he puts something on a bridge roll, he's not interested how it looks. He butters the bridge roll, he puts egg on a bridge roll. He's not interested at all in making it look nice and smooth. There's no problem at all. Someone tying, which is a good tying, a caterer, they like to make it look very elegant. And therefore, they could smooth out they might smooth out the egg on the bridge roll to make it look perfect. That could be more of an issue. A huadin, egg and onion. Someone makes an egg and onion. He's made it with horshabas. He takes out a scoop. And he takes the scoop, he said, last there is no problem of mamareach. You're not interested when you take out the scoop. You're not doing an action of mamareach. And therefore, there's no issa. And the someone takes an ice cream out with a scoop. He makes a nice ball. There's no issa on that at all. Agav, when a person takes egg out with a scoop, so the moment of Rom holds, that could be a shadow of boina. Many possible scoops when you're clinging all the pieces together. But besides the issa of boina, there's no issa of mamareach if a person just takes a scoop out. If after you've taken the scoop out, you pat around the sides of the egg, and you want to make it nice and smooth, you pat it down on all the sides to make it look nice and smooth, then that could be a shadow of mamareach. That's the tovah lo bracha of the Ramah, that here you're trying to protect it. You're trying to make the food look nice and smooth. That case there could be an issa of mamareach on egg. So generally speaking, on the food item, no mamareach. But when a person is doing something to the food, he wants to make it look nice and smooth, he's perfecting it, he pats it around the side to make it look have elegant appearance, that could be an issa, that could be a tovah lo bracha not to do it. All right. Go ahead. That's a